Hello and welcome to the Homegrown Food Summit. This is Marjorie Wildcraft, your host and guide. In our next presentation, we're going to have David the Good talking about seven ways to feed your garden. And this is what I call creative fertilizers. I mean, if you are interested in homemade fertilizers and how to feed your garden for free so that your garden will feed you, this is it. I really enjoy everything that David the Good does. He is so funny. David is the author of five books, including Compost Everything, The Good Guide to Extreme Composting, Grow or Die, The Good Guide to Survival Gardening, and Totally Crazy Easy Florida Gardening. His latest book, Push the Zone, shows you how to grow delicious tropical fruits and spices in colder climates. Ooh, sounds good to me. David has a popular and hilarious YouTube channel, and he's written for Mother Earth News, Heirloom Gardening Magazine, The Prepper Project, Backwoods Homes, and of course, he's a blogger, a JV blogger with the Grow Network, and I really do. Dave has such a sense of humor that he puts into everything he does. His videos are funny, and you'll see it in this one coming up. He and his wife, Rachel, currently live in a secret location near the equator, where they grow everything from cacao to soursop. You'll find his daily gardening blog at thesurvivalgardener.com, and of course his YouTube channel. He has a lot for daily inspiration. Watch this, Seven Ways to Feed Your Garden with David the Good.
Hi, I'm David the Good, and today I'm going to share with you seven ways to feed your garden for free. You should put in some dramatic titles right there. No, that was folksy. I want dramatic titles. Epic. All right, that was better. A lot of us started gardens because we wanted to save money. I mean, fresh produce is expensive, and organic produce is very expensive. Plus, what you get out of your backyard garden is a lot better than anything you can get from the store because it's perfectly fresh. All the intact enzymes, everything, sun, warmed tomatoes right from the garden, you can't beat it. Yet sometimes, gardening can be more expensive than we'd like. Saving money in the garden doesn't have to be a big deal. First of all, don't worry about building yourself perfect raised beds and that sort of thing. You don't even need raised beds. Just clear a spot and start planting. Second of all, you don't need to give your money to nurseries to buy transplants. Buy seeds. Seeds are much cheaper. Learn to grow your own from seed. A lot of times direct seeding is fine for quite a few plants. So when you can do that, do that. But third of all, a lot of us are spending money bringing in compost and bringing in amendments or bringing in fertilizers. Today I'm going to take that burden off of your shoulders. So let's start with what everybody knows you're supposed to put in your garden, compost. Buying compost. I don't like it for multiple reasons. First of all, you don't exactly know what went into that compost most of the time. I mean, they'll give you a breakdown, you know, maybe it was a certain amount of wood chips and maybe it was a certain amount of this and a certain amount of this, but you don't exactly know where all those bits and pieces came from. And when you see terms like biosolids, okay, that means sewer waste. And what can be in sewer waste is, I mean, if you were just composting human waste and safely putting it back into the soil, that's fantastic. I love the idea of completing the cycle. But when you think of all the other stuff that goes down the drain into the sewer system, heavy metals, toxins, hormones, and pharmaceuticals, that stuff is going in there. I don't really want all that stuff in my garden. I mean, one of the benefits of having a garden is we are away from that crazy factory world, right? Getting away from the toxins is why we garden. So buying in compost, I don't like. And I don't like having to pay for something that I can make myself. Do you see all this? I see potential compost everywhere. You could use this for a brown layer right here. You could use this for part of a green layer. When you clean up your yard, don't throw it by the side of the road. Now, obviously, I'm not in favor of chopping and dropping the entire jungle to feed your vegetable garden, but you can scavenge bits and pieces in more places than you might think. Got an empty lot across the street? Go and rake some leaves up. Cut some of the tall grass by the side of the road. You got a brown layer, you got a green layer, stack it. Got compost potentially everywhere. All the kitchen scraps in your house, I mean, including meat, bones, eggshells, hair, whatever, throw all that stuff in there. People freak out about it, but nature is a fantastic recycler. You can just throw things together and she'll deal with it. Don't worry so much. I know some of you are thinking right now, what about rats in my compost? What about vermin? Okay, you can close in the bin if you're really worried about it, or let the rats go tunnel their way and eat their way through, and then later, trap them all and compost them. I actually had a pumpkin I harvested the other day that I grew on top of a rat I caught in our kitchen. Buried it underneath, planted pumpkins on top, rat-fed pumpkins. Beautiful pumpkins, the best pumpkins. If you're going to compost, it's important to make it easy. The easiest form of composting is you eat a banana, you throw the peel underneath the tree, you say, there you go, tree, have some potassium. But if you want compost for your garden, you're gonna need a bin, or you're gonna have to just dedicate one of your garden beds and dump everything on top of there and make that your compost pile for a while. This is my current compost pile. This is my big one. I don't know what it is. It's like a big metal bin that my kids found in a lot next to a crumbling house. And we thought, hey, why not? Let's use it for a compost pile. I guess if anybody ever comes and asks for it back, we'll give it to them. To make composting easy, I leave a 5-gallon bucket with a lid in the kitchen and you can shut it. We go through a lot of food in our house. Eat a lot of vegetables, so there's a lot of peelings, bones, old oatmeal, spoiled dishes, whatever is in the fridge, and you clean out the fridge, all goes in the compost pile. Now that I have this rough, stinky stuff here, I can go and I can get a little bit of brown leaves and cover it up. If you're in an area where the leaves fall in the fall and people are putting big bags of leaves by the side of the road, go gather up those bags when they're by the side of the road, leave them next to your compost pile. And then every time you put in something green and sloppy, throw some of those leaves on top of it. It's very easy. That's the poor man's wheelbarrow. $8 tarp. That's ready for another layer of green, whenever we get around to it. For you lazy composters out there, there's another cool method, and that is to let the chickens do the work for you. I learned this from Paul Galchi. I'd always thrown scraps to the chickens, and most of the time they turn it all into the dirt and it mostly disappears. What he actually does is go into his chicken run after throwing them all kinds of vegetables. This is the Back to Eden guy, by the way, if you don't know the name, Paul Galchi. Great movie, very good, quite encouraging. But he would take all of the kitchen scraps and everything and throw them out to the chickens. The chickens turn them into the ground, and what are they doing? They're manuring, they're turning, they're putting it into the soil. And then he would take the soil from his chicken run, sift it out, and put it onto his garden. So he's actually feeding this rich, compost-filled soil. What I have right here is a lot of material that I threw in here. We threw in kitchen scraps and we threw in grass clippings and weeds, all kinds of stuff. And it rots down and the chickens turn it. And what I end up with is just layers of beautiful compost underneath, which I can put through a sifter and put right into my garden beds. And this takes no work. Last time I sifted this, hey, look at, there's a Lego. That's nice. If you have kids, I'm sure you find Legos everywhere. But all of this, last time I sifted this, I got 10 gallons of compost out of this little chicken coop. Look at how beautiful this is. my kind of composting. I just threw tons of yard scraps in here a few months ago, and then we threw in a lot of kitchen scraps with it. The chickens keep turning it, it keeps rotting, and then you get this rich manure and compost stuff. It's marvelous. Another easy way to compost. At this point, you might say, but David the Good, I live in a small space, I have a little yard. I can't go out into the rainforest and rake leaves and chop things down, and I don't have chickens. They're illegal in my neighborhood. I only have a little bit of material. How could I feed my gardens if I don't really have much that I can compost? Well, in this next segment, method number two, my wife is going to demonstrate a crazy, insane, terrifying compost tea method that we use when we're feeding a large space or we have a shortage of materials.
More than likely, you're already familiar with the idea of compost tea. In its simplest form, you would probably imagine you put compost in a barrel with some water and you end up with compost tea. But people like to make it kind of, well, complicated. Just like with regular compost, they often like to add all these gadgets and things to their compost tea to make it more, better, amazing. And they add bubblers and enzymes and I don't even know. But David has been experimenting with very simple compost tea that is user-friendly, easy for you to just pick up and work with right away with what pretty much what you have on hand right now. Let me show you. By the way, I forgot to tell you, this is the no-no, bad, naughty compost tea that your mom told you never to make. It's anaerobic. I know, but let me tell you, it grows really good plants. So we have here a large drum that we periodically come and fill with weeds. When we weed the garden, we fill up a bucket with our weeds, throw it in here, and we put water in here. We just continually fill it up with more weeds. Does it smell? Yes, it smells. Plants aren't that picky. They eat manure as well, and you know how smelly that can be. So there you go.
This whole fermenting plants thing, making compost tea this way, people will say this isn't really compost tea because this is insane or something like that. But really, if you look at Korean natural farming and the JADAM method, J-A-D-A-M, I discovered after doing this fermenting weeds and manure and all kinds of things in barrels and having it work really wonderfully in my garden, I did all these experiments with it. And then just this last year, I discovered the Koreans have been doing it for thousands of years. So go Korea. But you can make custom versions of it for different plants. Like this here is a batch I made to feed my coffee. And so what I did was I took the coffee cherries when we split them off and we took the beans, we processed our own coffee out. I took the cherry portion, which we didn't use, and we put it in here along with coffee grounds. And I made a big pile of them in here and I've let them rot now for months. And I figure that's probably got most of the nutrition that a coffee plant would need. So I'm gonna stir this around and go feed my coffee plants with it. Look at that. Some sort of fungi that has just grown and colonized all this. This is very alive. Think of the mother in vinegar and you might have something like this. Look at that. So this is all gonna get stirred in here and then I'm gonna take some and take it in a mix it with some water and put it on the coffee. I have a bunch of little coffee seedlings I started. Stir that in. Doesn't really smell bad. I mean, not horrible bad. That is pretty cool. don't even know what it's doing here. So, I usually thin it about 10 parts water to 1 part scary fermented plant juice. Works wonderfully. I did this with my corn 1 year out in a field of just pretty nasty looking sand, and I ended up with some beautiful, beautiful green corn. You would not believe how wonderful it looked. And all I did was take a barrel, throw a bunch of weeds in it, and chicken manure, and I just let it sit in the sun and ferment for a long time. And then I thinned it out with water, and I watered all the plants, and did marvelously.
Often what I'll do when I come out into the garden is to just grab a bucket and I'll start out by weeding a bed. And then at the end of my garden time, I'll dump the weeds into our compost tea barrel, stir them around, grab some in a coffee can and put it in my watering can, and then I'll finish off in the garden with adding it back to the garden by watering it in. If you think about it, what you're really doing is taking the weeds that have grown in your garden beds, and they've pulled up nutrients, minerals, vitamins from the soil. And if you were to take them and just toss them away, you're taking all of that good stuff that they've gathered up from the soil and you're throwing it out. You're getting rid of it. I mean, maybe you're going to compost it in your compost bin, but this is a very quick way to do it, to throw it in a compost tea weed juice barrel like this, and you're making it all go back into a liquid form and putting it back onto your garden. You're completing the cycle, and it's actually kind of a nice revenge when you think about it. You're turning your weeds in back into fertility, back into the soil. You're gonna wanna keep it covered so that you don't breed mosquitoes. And before you eat anything from the garden, you're gonna wanna give it a good rinse. But really, it's not all that scary. And it's not even as scary as the next thing we're gonna talk about.
The fermented plant juice, or compost tea, or anaerobic swamp water seems kind of insane. It's not nearly as likely to damage your garden as this next amendment. Manure. People are scared of anaerobic compost and anaerobic composting, but they happily put cartloads of manure on their gardens. Now, manure is great. Manure is fantastic. But I've warned people over and over and over again, don't trust it. It's not that the manure is too hot, it's got too much nitrogen in it, and you need to compost it first or something like that. No, it's that a lot of manure has persistent herbicides in it that will utterly wreck your garden. Completely destroy it. We're talking for a year or two. It'll kill fruit trees. Things start to twist up. Your plants start to look weird over time. It's the manure. It's not the manure itself, but it's what's in it. You can compost it. And let it sit for a long time, and you put it in your garden, and your garden dies. But today I'm going to talk about using manure in your garden that is safe. I know that this manure here is safe. I got my hands in it. Isn't that gross? Marjorie would love me for this. She doesn't care about getting dirty. This manure I know is safe because I don't live in the United States. I don't live in a place where toxic long-term herbicides are sprayed regularly. The cows around here are grazing on jungle grasses and through the rainforest, so they're living a very natural life for cows. They're eating whatever they find to eat, and when they leave their droppings don't have anything dangerous or toxic in them. So I just wander around with a bag. Sometimes I'll go on a jog up the road and I'll pick up the cow pies along the road as I go. I'm sure it amuses my neighbors. Then, as you can see here, when you crush these up, cow manure is almost just compost. The cow is like a composting machine. And it passes through the digestion of a cow, all four of those stomachs, and the enzymes and everything work on it and grinds it all up. If you've ever seen the inside of a cow and how it works, it's utterly amazing. You end up with this beautiful finished stuff, which has a lot of nutrition left in it for your garden. So you can take it and put it directly into your garden if you're going to plant later. You know, you could turn fresh manure into the soil, and then once it's kind of been worked on by the soil organisms a bit, you can turn around and plant in it. Or you can dry the manure in the sun, use the dried manure, crush it up, and throw it in as an amendment. This scavenged piece of sheet metal roofing, this is my manure dryer. When I get pies and pick them up and stick them in bags and bring them home, and I put them on this, and I lay them out in the wonderful tropical sun. I lift this entire thing and put it up on the roof of my chicken coop, because that way my chickens won't kick them over and knock them all over the yard and make a big mess, because chickens are really good at doing that, and they like to pick through the manure too. So I'll take them, dry them in the sun, get the real nastiness out of them, I guess, and then crush them up and mix them in the garden, or mix this directly into potting soil mixes. I'm gonna go put some in the garden right now. I got a bed that needs it. I loosened up the soil in this bed to about a foot deep the other day. It's about ready. I got some transplants going. The gardens are all a wreck right now because we're in the turnover from the wet season to the dry season. And so the rainy season has petered out. We are in the dry season right now, and it's time to sort of start getting ready for the next round. Rainy season's coming back in a couple of months. This bed here is all nice and loose, and I'm just gonna top dress it with this manure. Dry manure like this is really nice to work with. It doesn't smell bad. It actually smells a little bit sweet, unoffensive, completely inoffensive, and it's very easy to distribute. It's not like wet, nasty manure. So I like drying it out and then just using it like this. This is a ton of good stuff for this bed. Everything I plant in here is going to be very happy. I probably won't have to feed it anything the entire time that they're growing in this bed. You guys are lucky I didn't subject you to the segment I originally filmed. I was going to do sort of a fake BBC documentary on an eccentric old guy who gathered manure.
Every morning, this man gathers what he calls garden gold.
You can use manure from goats and sheep and elephants and giraffes, probably ostriches. Hippopotamus.
You were spared. You can use a lot of varieties of manure, it's true. Chicken manure is really good, but I like to let the chickens kind of turn the compost and manure it, because chicken manure is really hot, and I don't find that it's particularly easy to gather when you have free-range chickens. I mean, I'm not gonna go around with a teaspoon and try and, no, forget it. I let them just feed the yard and go where they want to. Goat manure is fantastic because it's sort of a slow release manure. It's very nice to throw on the gardens. Rabbit manure is wonderful. I actually used to mix rabbit manure into the pots when I had a plant nursery, and it would sort of slow release like people spend money on fertilizers for. But we're all about not spending money. The only kind of manures that I really don't like, I mean, there's no way I'm gonna be putting cat droppings into anything because I don't like toxoplasmosis. I'm usually not that concerned about dog droppings, but I would throw them into a hot compost pile if I was gonna do that. I don't have a dog, so I don't know, but cats I would stay away from. But your herbivores are really what you want, and your poultry. They differ from us enough biologically that we're not likely to get ill from them. Just use some common sense. Don't eat manure, eat the plants that manure feeds. that's pretty much a good rule of thumb. For a long time, people have known that putting a little ashes in your garden makes your gardens grow better, particularly for melons. It was funny, one of the local farmers was walking down the road just as I was telling him what I was doing here, lighting up a fire, and we had the camera out, and he says, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm gonna film a little gardening video. We're gonna make some ashes." And he says, "Man, ashes are good for melons." That's what we're doing right now. If I let this burn about halfway though, I can get what's called biochar, which is just charcoal. Now this is what I call redneck biochar. This is just an open burn. And then I put it out. I don't bother with making kilns and all that jazz to make biochar. I just do an open fire, burn it fast, and then turn around and quench it. And if I let it burn all the way, I get ashes. I'm gonna show you how I use ashes in the garden too. But this here, when it cools off, I'll gather it up and then I will charge it. If you're familiar with charcoal, activated charcoal in particular, if you've got a person that swallowed something toxic, actually I read that the guy that really pioneered activated charcoal, he drank strychnine and ate the activated charcoal and didn't die. He did it as a demonstration. I don't recommend putting that much faith in charcoal, but charcoal absorbs a lot. That's because the pore structure just sucks things in. It'll hold a ton of minerals from the soil. So if you just put this directly into your garden, it'll pretty much soak up all the minerals in your garden and you're gonna have some trouble for a year or two until things equalize out. But if you soak it first in some of that compost tea that I showed you, if you soak it in urine, which is rich in minerals, if you soak it in just about any fertilizer solution, or if you just put it as a layer into your compost pile and let all that soak into it and let the biological activity move in, these little pieces here are like bacteria condos for the good guys. Mass living communities of fungi and bacteria, and they become bunkers of fertility and life in the soil. At least that's the theory. So what I've been doing is smashing these up, mixing them into my garden beds after I have soaked them in something rich and nutritious or layered them in my compost pile. They keep getting turned into my beds, so over time, I'm getting more and more potential soil fertility as this acts like a sponge and holds on to the good stuff and loosens my soil. If you have sandy soil in particular, adding biochar is a good idea because sand tends to let everything go through it. This traps it, holds on to it, keeps some of the good stuff around for your plants. I'm back at this bed again. I have here a bucket of ashes. I've already got some biochar in this bed from the last season. These ashes are just from a fire that I let burn all the way down. I piled up a bunch of random junk. I mean, not like plastic and stuff. don't, no, don't, I know you're thinking of it, don't do that. You want wood, you don't want pressure treated wood, you know, rotten wood, whatever, turn into ashes. And ashes are high in potassium and calcium. So we've added the manure, which has organic matter and nitrogen and some other nutrients mixed in. And I am going to throw in some potassium and some calcium. And it's all free. It's real nice spreading ashes because you can tell where you've covered quite easily. If you have acid soil, ashes are great. If you have alkaline soil, I want to back off on the ashes. The problem with them is that even though they have a lot of nutrition for the soil, if you get your pH messed up, it's going to mess your garden up. Your plants are not going to be able to uptake the nutrients properly. So high pH is not what you want. That looks pretty good to me. Turn this around a little bit, mix it in, and you're looking good for some transplants here. Or for some direct seeding. I make my own transplants though, so it doesn't cost me much of anything. This next amendment, oh, it's really a drag. But to get it, I have to go to the beach. So, tough life. Seaweed is one of the best amendments for your garden because it's loaded with minerals. If you live near a beach, it's a no-brainer. Go pick up some seaweed. The thing is, I know a lot of you don't live near the beach and you're probably watching and going, well, that's completely not helpful to me. Well, maybe next time you go on vacation, you know, bring a couple of bags with you. Or if you really want to spend money, you can go to the store and you can buy some kelp meal. I got two buckets of these Rachel and I gathered, so I'm going to do something with one of the buckets in the garden, and this other bucket is going to become the green layer in this compost pile. So now we've got kitchen scraps, we've got the layer of brown stuff that we raked up, and we've got the biochar, and now we're going to put mineral-rich seaweed, which acts like a green layer in the compost, on top of it. Now, I'm not worried about the salt in this. Plants actually need some salt. The tomatoes will actually taste better with a little bit of salt. And by the time this compost finishes, the salt and all the other minerals are going to be well mixed in, and it's not going to be a problem with burning plants. Trust me, I've done this before. I'm an expert on the internet. There we go. I've got a bucket half full of water here, and then I've got our other bucket of seaweed, and I'm going to rinse this seaweed in the water. Now, I have done this without rinsing and it hasn't killed my plants, but I don't want to recommend it because you don't really know if it's going to be too much salt. So I'm going to rinse these, and then I'm going to use them as a mulch on this new garden bed that I've prepared. So think of all the stuff we put in here. We've got ashes in here, we've got manure in here, I already forked the ground all up. Now we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna mulch with seaweed, which adds micronutrients like crazy. Now there's another way you can use seaweed in your garden, and that is to make a liquid fertilizer out of it. Stick a little bit in the blender, blend it up real small, or put some in a big barrel or a bucket like I've done with the weed tea, and just let it rot down, and then you've got all the minerals of the ocean ready to go on your garden. Or, if you're really lazy and you don't want to go to the beach, but you do want a liquid fertilizer, there's one that you make every single day. We've probably heard that if you pee on something, you're going to kill it. Well, if you dump a bunch of fertilizer on anything, you are going to kill it. And urine does have salts in it that can be too much for a plant. But if you think about everything you eat during the day and how many nutrients your body filters out because you just can't use it at that point, it goes through into your urine, and your urine is an excellent fertilizer. So if you want to use it in the garden, what you got to do is save it somehow, and then mix it about 10 parts water to 1 part urine, or thereabouts, depending on how much salt you eat. I just go ahead and randomly mix by eye. Unless you're putting it on straight, you're probably not going to burn anything. Just thin it out somewhat so it's not too much. I saw the most beautiful garden down in South Florida sand. We're talking like beach sand. All the plants were incredibly green because the homeowner would save urine every morning, mix it with a little bit of water, go out there and just water a little bit. Makes a very good foliar feed, and it's very good for the roots as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's like Miracle-Gro, and your body is making it every day. I'm just gonna wait right now. If you have to go, take this moment. Save a little. I prefer to use urine on plants that we're not gonna eat off of directly, like I wouldn't use it in a salad garden, but I would use it in getting transplants established and in feeding these little fruit tree seedlings that I've started here, and in feeding things like sweet potatoes, which are not gonna be that big a deal. You obviously don't wanna consume it, so again, like manure, use common sense. If the idea of using urine directly on your plants is a little bit too much for you, you can still use it as a Kickstarter for your compost pile because it's loaded with nitrogen. And compost needs a lot of water to get going. So I thin out some urine with some buckets of water, throw it on the compost pile after I've made my greens and browns, and within 24 hours, it is cooking hot. If you were hoping there was another way to feed your gardens other than pee-pee, well, you're in luck. We're up to number 7. Number 7 is a method that works probably a little bit better for perennials unless you're thinking ahead. But if you have an invasive tree or a pain in the neck plant, or a whole bunch of pain-in-the-neck plants or invasive trees, or trees you just need to clear, well, this method's for you. Get out your machete. We're gonna take some stuff down. This is Lucaena, some sort of Lucaena species, probably Leucocephala, which I'm probably totally mangling the Latin on because I've only ever read it. Nobody actually speaks Latin so far as I know. I think they're all dead. But this tree here is a nitrogen-fixing tree, and that means it has a relationship with nitrogen bacteria beneath the soil. So every time you cut it back, it's releasing a little bit of nitrogen to the ground. Well, there's nothing really right next to it, except for this little jackfruit tree. And I planted this jackfruit tree over here from a seed, and I have been feeding it with chop and drop. Many of these trees here I have cut before, and I just drop every time I cut bits and pieces around the tree. So all the hard work that this lacana tree did to build itself is now going to rot into the soil and feed this little baby jackfruit tree. So we are mulching and feeding at the same time. I'm not a genius. You know, I get, my gardening is the result of learning from a lot of people that are smarter than I am. People like Jeff Lawton and Bill Mollison, Steve Solomon, Herrick Kimball, people that have invented or come up with really cool ideas, and then I just sort of absorb and follow. And you can do the same thing. This chop and drop method, it's just the way that a forest builds up. We're just doing it in fast forward. The forest drops branches now and again when it gets to it. We're dropping branches rapidly, growing really fast growing things, and then knocking them into the ground and making soil fertility. All this is going to rot. It's going to build soil underneath this jackfruit. The jackfruit tree will respond to the additional minerals and nitrogen and organic matter, and it just grows wonderfully. I've got to show you the other jackfruit tree, which has already grown up and bearing, that we've been dropping all kinds of compost around. Let's go take a look at that. Around the base of this tree for the last year since we moved to this property, I have been piling up bits and pieces. My kids are throwing banana peels and all kinds of things. And the tree's fruit has just increased like you wouldn't believe. And you see, it's turning into compost right around the base of the tree. And I have my little compost helpers here. These millipedes are always down here at the base of the tree. And there, look at that. You shouldn't be scared of things like this. You should be very happy. These are primary decomposers, meaning they're coming in, chewing things up, leaving their little droppings all over the place and working hard and making it so things are rapidly available to the tree. Aren't they beautiful? And they're not offensive. They don't bite or anything. Look, you can pet them. So all of this here is getting turned into soil slowly. And if you don't like the way it looks, having a bunch of rough stuff there, you can always keep a few bags of mulch nearby, dump your kitchen scraps, chop stuff from the yard, whatever, and then just put a nice little thin layer over the top so people don't know how extreme your composting really is. This mango tree has been the beneficiary of lots of yard waste. We saw how well it worked with the jackfruit already, and when I had to clean this yard up and do some thinning to allow light to come through, we just took it and dropped it. So there's mango prunings and banana prunings and sapodilla prunings and whatever bits and pieces of hedges and everything, all at the base of the mango tree. It's going to feed the ground and make it happy. It acts like mulch, it acts like compost, and it's feeding the soil. If you have a tree in your yard, too, that you can't stand, this tree just keeps growing back. I really want to kill that tree! Okay, and it doesn't die, right? And you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried, and you're about ready to break out the gasoline. Stop. Stop. That tree is a renewable resource for your soil. It's growing well, it's growing back. Just keep cutting the top of it off and feed it to something else, something you love and care about. Chop the pieces up and throw it around your blueberry plants. Chop pieces up and give them to one of your apple trees. Don't worry about getting rid of the tree, just keep cutting it. It's pulling up more nutrients, it's building the top, it's pulling up more nutrients, it's building the top. Just take its hard work and give it to something else. It's really simple and it works. We layered and soaked this less than 18 hours ago, and then it rained. And this is hot. This is baking hot already. It hasn't even been 24 hours. Seaweed and leaves and urine activated. I hope today's presentation has given you guys some good ideas. This is only the beginning of the cheap gardening and composting rabbit hole. I'm very glad you joined me as we dove in. If you want more ideas on extreme composting, from everything from fish guts to human waste, check out my book, Compost Everything, The Good Guide to Extreme Composting, which is available on Amazon. I also invite you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. It is popular, it is entertaining, and it has me and my beautiful wife on it. My beautiful wife and I on it. So you'll find me by looking up David the Good on YouTube.
I'm scared. Hold me.
Thanks for joining me, and until next time, may your thumbs always be green.
Be nice to your mother and always say please. Be loyal to friends and compost your enemies. Be nice to your mother and always say please. Be loyal to friends and compost your enemies.
Well, there you go. I have to say, I was just making up some of that weed tea. I was using nettles, and boy, does it stink. And Dave and Rachel talking about how, well, the plants can't smell it, or if they can, they're used to smelling manure, so this is okay. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense to me. Well, if you click on the button to the right there, I believe Dave has a free guide to composting and that he will send you. So just click on the button there, and then you can also subscribe there at that button to his newsletter. He's got all kinds of wacky and fun stuff that he does. Go pick up that free book on composting from David the Good. He's awesome. This is Marjorie Wildcraft, and we have a bunch more presentations for you. I hope you're enjoying them. This is the Homegrown Food Summit.